In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During Theology 3, as a seminarian, being in third theology means that you're studying to get your master's degree in theology. So we're all, you know, basically, we've taken prerequisites with theology and philosophy classes. So there's a lot that you learn in a couple years. So when you go to the master's program, that sort of goes in depth in theology, biblical scholarship, doctrinal scholarship, things like that. So I remember going to my first class, and remember, we're all seminarians studying to be priests. So, and we had all of these prerequisite courses, so we kind of thought we knew what we were doing. So we went to the first day of class, and my former professor, Dr. Michael Barber, he said, okay, this is what we're going to do in the beginning. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, I'm going to give you an A. You don't have to come to class anymore, and that's it. You're good. So we're like, okay, you know, what's the question? I think there was like 20 of us in class. So he said, one of you describe to me what Hosanna means. It was as quiet as this church right now, you know. We're looking around, we're like, you know, some people try to guess, it's that they're all wrong answers. And in my head, I'm like, are you kidding me? How do I not know what that is? I say it every single time I go to Mass. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. So then I had to like reevaluate my life and really think, you know, what I do or do not know. And obviously no one got that right. We continued class. And when we're continuing class, I was thinking about all the things I say, or sometimes we say that has to do with our faith, that we literally have no idea what we're talking about or what that thing is. We just say it out of basic habit, maybe. We say it because we're supposed to, things like that. But if I were to ask you, if I see you after Mass and I say, hey, really quick, Hosanna in the highest, what is that? What is Oshana? What would you answer me? Because you can't really weasel your way out of it, because now I know what it is. So you can't really weasel your way out of that. So what does that tell us? That tells us that when it comes to our faith, if we don't know what we're doing, we're sort of in bad shape. If we don't know what we're talking about, it becomes very odd so much, it becomes words. Someone could easily say, I love God so much. I rely on Mother Mary so much in my life on her prayers. Who is God? Who is Mother Mary? Tell me some of her attributes. What are these things that we're talking about? Because when it comes to our faith, talk is cheap. Talk is very cheap when it comes to our faith. Because it's not something we could sort of weasel our way around. In life, in secular life, you could do that all the time. Someone could ask you something, you could easily deflect. You could easily walk away, you could easily change the subject. You could easily pretend to know what you're talking about, and you could convince someone. Okay, that's okay, you could convince them. But when it comes to our faith, now we're dealing with God. There's no room for us to try to weasel our way around explaining to God that we think we know what we're talking about. Now, why do I mention this? It's because it has to do with the state of our soul. Believe it or not, our souls are eternal. They live forever. And they will live forever in one reality or the other, heaven or hell. So this means that when Jesus tells us, and he tells his disciples in this gospel today, he tells them, he says, go to this village opposite of you, and you're going to do all of these things before Jesus even enters into Jerusalem. This is a big triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. This is a peak of the ministry of Jesus. His ministry is almost done. And what happens in Jerusalem? That's where he dies. But before all of this, there's this long, elaborate dialogue with him and his disciples. Make sure you go here, grab this donkey, then the colt. If anyone tells you anything, tell them so-and-so needs it. The Lord needs it. And when he's done, he's going to bring it back. And when you bring it back, and it's all of this direction that he's giving them. Why is he going into so much detail? Why? Why do we need to know what this strange detail that he's telling his disciples. St. Matthew could have easily told us, Jesus told his disciples to bring him a donkey, he brought him a donkey, he entered in Jerusalem, everyone was shouting Hosanna in the highest. But there's something much bigger happening here, much bigger. Because when we say Hosanna in Mass, we are saying save us. That's what that means. Save us, Lord. And when we say save us, what could we rationally conclude? We need a savior. We are not saviors unto ourselves. We need a savior of our souls. And before Jesus even enters Jerusalem, he shows us how much closer we can get to the salvation with his dialogue he has with his disciples. Because in order to understand what we're talking about when it comes to our faith, we need to know that our faith is a participation in the life of Jesus. We don't just mosey around, sit around, sign the cross when we get into our cars, that's good to do, and then at the end of the night, say in our Father and go to sleep. That's First Communion students do more than just that. First Communion students who are just learning about their faith. We have much more of a capacity to participate in the life of God in our lives. But sometimes it's not that easy. Because look what Jesus does. Remember, every single word in the gospel matters. He says to the disciples, he said, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey and do all of this. You're going to go to a village that you're not familiar with. The opposite village, you're going to go there. And that's where you're going to participate in my life. You are going to participate in my triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. Sometimes things don't go our way in life. Sometimes we have to go to the opposite village. Sometimes life could be discomforting. Sometimes life could be unfortunate. Bad things could happen to us in our lives. We could get uncomfortable all the time. But those are all opportunities to think about how much I could participate in the life of Jesus during this trial, during this obstacle that I have in my life. Not to feel sorry for myself, not to have self-pity, but to see it as an opportunity. Because what happens when we do that? Jesus is able to enter into our hearts as a king, not as an employee that we go to when we need something, not as some sort of friend that we go to with benefits where we want someone to be healed from a sickness, or we want to really land this job that we want, or we want this certain thing to happen in our future. No, he comes into our hearts as a king, as a Lord of our lives. That's why we say, Hosanna b'marom. That's why we say, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us. But save us while we participate in your life. We have one more week left of Lent and a transformation in our hearts and souls. Maybe our Lent wasn't that good. Maybe we fell a lot. And maybe we just got discouraged throughout Lent. Okay, it's not the end of the world. We still have a week to put on our effort and to show Christ that we are willing to participate in his life. And we are willing not only just to say, save us, but to show him through our actions. Amen.